Blog Talk Radio.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. Knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge. The light bulb.
Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again on this Thursday, March the 27th. Just me and Drake tonight. We're going to start off the show. There's been a bit of a sad happening this week. In this war of good against evil, light against dark, sometimes there's casualties. Sometimes people get stressed and strained and say things and do things that they will regret at a later date. We've all done it. We're all no different. But sometimes things happen that transcend all that nonsense and bring people back to the centre. Robin Light, we received some bad news of her illness last night. And Drake, especially, myself, and all at Cosmic Voice, I'm sure will agree in hoping a speedy recovery for Robin Light. This next song goes out from Drake and I to Rick Light. We won't forget you. We'll be back soon.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver sound of the bar. Walk on.
Right, we're back with the show. Once again, I and Drake and all our members of Cosmic Voice are hoping for a speedy recovery for Robin Light. And on that note, I'm going to hand you over to the man of the hour, Drake.
Hey, hey. I hope there ain't a dry eye in the house. I've been kind of keeping my ear to the ground, listening in, talking to some people, finding shit out. There's still a lot of this posting that about the Flight 2370 and all that. Gordon Duff got in on it. I posted some things about it. Some people have reiterated that it took off again. That's possible, but not according to what I understood. It's not due to leave yet. There's too many things going on. Too much shit, for want of a better expression. Everybody knows what that is and how it smells and that you don't want to get it on you. And yet, it seems to be the only discourse from some people. Was watching the news today a little bit, and Obama had a audience with the Pope. One of the questions he had was, what about religious freedom? And Obama changed the subject. Now, the idea of this show is to do several things. Keep people informed to an extent that's possible without me going to jail, among other things. Without endangering any of the people that talk to me. And yet the people that are active, and I mean seriously active, are being hit. I will suggest that certain people who have come of note are going to be hit later rather than at the time that they are doing things. This very well may be the case of Robin Wright. I don't know. Rick, if you're out there and you hear this, or somebody gets in touch with him, tell him that if he'd like, I'll see what I can do about getting some stuff to help. We've got a physician that works on us on an emergency contingency. All this was in that post that Neil Keenan put out. And I told you about this stuff a couple of years ago, at least. It was voiced by a bunch of other people. Advancements in microelectronics and micromechanics had gotten to a point where they could get something about the size of a hummingbird, at the very least, maybe a little bit bigger, to fly around and do things, spy on you. Even some of them are capable of shooting stuff at you. They fooled around with it. The only problem was that the batteries didn't last too long. There was too much pull. Well, if you go a little smaller, keep the battery about the same size, change the manner in which the battery is configured. Everybody knows about a battery. It's got plates in it and a reactive in between. When you take two different kinds of metal and stick them in a lemon, you can read it on a voltmeter. Kind of deal. Well, if you go into higher levels of technology, you'll find that they have things called electrical bombs, and these things are capacitive discharges, acts something like a lightning bolt, depending on the size of it, and it wouldn't take a very big one to totally ruin somebody. And these things have been around for quite some time. They've been playing with them for a while. The thing is this. If you haven't read that post, and it's posted on the Facebook page several times, it's on the blog, it's on the website. If you haven't read that post, you need to read it. When you hit an average bug with a shoe, it usually does it. This thing got slammed four times and was still moving. That means it ain't biological. That means it's a mechanical. That means that they are already in use now. If you think in terms of a horde of mosquitoes, and each one of them has a nasty biological agent instead of the usual saliva, think about what that could do. Yeah, this is a fear porn of the highest order. The only problem with it is that it's not only real, this is factual. Some people know some things about me. They don't know about my security clearances, but they do know that I work in nuclear defense of our country and thus had to have certain levels of security clearances in order to do my job. the things that I found out when I started poking around were pretty awesome. I was trained partially in Nike missile systems at Redstone Arsenal. Got into some high tech, got into some secretive stuff, got into some things that they didn't want anybody to know. And this ain't going to be a nice show. You ain't going to like this. This is have to keep people up at night, give them nightmares, that sort of thing. You guys have seen the sci-fi horror flicks, I'm sure. I have no doubt of that. If you like to stretch your imagination a bit and, you know, check things out, that definitely is a deal. Hold on. All right. Here's how it is. This show's about freedom. And you'll find that freedom's been defined that it's freedom only if it's if and when approved. You are not to talk about certain things, mention certain things. You try to do that, do so in public, you'll be glossed over and ignored and or removed. I posted some things about this last week, definitions by Webster's of fascism, socialism, and a republic. And I mentioned that only a republic has a president. I want you to note that Putin is a president. I want you to think about that. Digest it. Now, here's our main problem. Freedom has a time limit. We got to get things done within a certain frame of time, or we're screwed. So I'm saying screw it. Now, I want you to think about this. there was a show that I watched when I was a kid, and this guy who decided, this kid who decided he was never going to grow up, went to Never Never Land. Everybody should be familiar with it. If you ain't, look it up. Watch the movie. It's worth it. I got to watch the second one, and Robin Williams was brilliant in his portrayal. but I want you to think about that time limit and think about that big old crocodile by the name of TikTok, and you could hear him, TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. You could hear that dude. Okay, and we'll say this again. The Pope asked about religious freedom, and Obama changed the subject. that does not bode well for our time limit. This does not bode well for us. Now, as stipulated, Keenan's post told of a mechanical bug, and I told you about that. It was posted quite a while ago, more than once. In relation to that, I've expressed that I worked at Redstone Arsenal, and I have a small horror story for you. I want everybody to really pay attention to this because this is factual. If you want to see it, you go visit, and it's still there waiting on you. I would not suggest that you visit close hand. I would suggest to keep your distance. You'll find a nice big old chain link fence with some old rusty signs that says, security clearance required, only authorized personnel. And if you get up close to that fence, now don't touch that sucker. They may have electrified it since I talked about this once before. But I would suggest you take a close look because there's another fence behind it. And it states, do not enter. And it means it, because the little disclaimer explains itself right underneath. Lethal force authorized. That means you get shot on sight. That's exactly what that means. Anybody found fooling around there? Could be shot, thrown over the fence. Just that simple. Now, everybody's heard about high tech. This is going to be a little bit of a science expose. everybody's heard about technologies being advanced and everybody hiding them and making sure we don't know about them because we, the people, would be not only up in arms, but also probably would start acting out and out of fear. And here's why. Here's what's happened. Back in 1958, there was some discoveries made. And those discoveries were, let's say, both dangerous and awesome, both at the same time. few have had any experiences that would equate to what I'm going to describe, but they fooled around with it, and they finally figured out a way to encapsulate the finding. And it wasn't very big. It was only a little glob about, a little larger than a silver dollar in size. But it did things. It moved around, among other things. And they found that a small electrical charge on a container contained it. And they were real happy with that, but they didn't like the idea of having that stuff sitting around in the office at the location they were at. So they decided, well, we need to put it in a place where we can secure this and we know everything's cool. Well, there's a grouping of buildings in a swampy area that used to be called the Hotel California. This was back in the day. And in 1961, the official move was made. They labeled it biological and atomic in terms of the transport. So nobody would come near that turkey. They did not want nobody fooling with it. And there's reasons, and I'll explain those here in a few. And they transported it to this little, these little buildings they'd had built in a little swampy area on a military reservation. And then they went about securing the surrounding perimeters and, you know, making sure nobody could fool with nothing and get in or see anybody or anything. And then they went about securing scientists. Now, most people are aware of what a clean room is and what it takes to get into that, basically. You go through this kind of a shower and that kind of a wash and this sort of a detoxification and making sure you're absolutely pristinely clean. Well, the human body has some problems. It loses skin, hair, and other things. Usually you take those to the toilet, but some people lose it sometimes on the battlefield. Sometimes they see something, it just does it. Anyway, in order to fully cleanse an individual, you have to do things that are not exactly cool. One of those is that you have to fry the skin just a little bit and do so over a period of time. It took about 8 months of solid treatments on a regular basis, both chemical and electronic of several kinds, in order to have the scientists acquire the skin that would not lose any particles. Now, there's several things about this. One of those is that you cannot have any hair anywhere on your body, period. Nada, nothing. Believe me, when certain things get into certain areas, it can get painful. But combination of the bombardment of the skin so that it almost turned into a scaly kind of deal caused the hair to fall out. So it was a double whammy. They were pretty pleased with it. Then they went about making sure that all the follicles everywhere on your body were dead and you could not produce any more hair. That was number two of that part. Number three, Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never leave. You can check out, but you ain't going nowhere. Everybody's heard that song. Now you know what the idea was. And it's a combination. It deals with MK Ultra and this particular location. That's what that song is about, actually. There had to be special goggles made so that you didn't go blind in the process of the cleanse and preparation. Some people couldn't handle it, and let's see, I'd say by this time they're probably dead of old age, but there were several, some of whom didn't even survive. That's how rigorous, that's how intense, that's how extreme these things were. When you go into the place, after you go through all this happy crap, you go into this place, and it takes about a day and a half just to get inside. That's how intense the protocols were. Now, everybody would kind of go, yeah, right, sci-fi, whoopity-doo. Well, I hate to tell you, but not only have I been there, but I read some of the files and the preparation protocols go a lot deeper than what I've talked about. The access protocols also go a lot deeper than I've talked about. But once you're inside, you're going to do 6 months to 5 years. That's the minimum, maximum that they figured it would take to figure out what they were doing. Now, let's get back to this little glob of snot that they come up with. I don't know how many people are familiar with microelectronics, but you've got full computers that are not actually much bigger than a Timex watch now. That'll give you an idea. Now, if that's out on the open market, you can imagine how small they can make things. That's just a gift of an idea. I want you to consider these things. You need to get your head right, because you're going to like what's coming. Okay? Everybody has heard of nanotechnology. Now, I'm going to open up a can of worms here, and I might even get a phone call by people telling me I shouldn't have talked about that. Irrespective of anything else, you shouldn't have said nothing. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. I'm hoping that certain people who can will declassify what I'm about to tell you. It's going to be very general, not very specific. But nanotechnology. Well, nanotechnology is measured in microns, which is awful itty-bitty. You're getting down to a point smaller than any kind of a germ or amoebic virus or even most, and I mean most every, known chemical or naturally occurring element that we are aware of. Now, there are some that are in that area, but we don't have to worry about those yet. My subject is going to be the fun and games with nanos. A nano is basically a subatomic conglomeration of material that can be programmed to move and do simple tasks, supposedly. This is back in the day. See, you're talking back in the 50s now. I want you to think about back in the 50s. We were still worried about little green men from Mars and silly things of this nature. This is not silly. This is real. Okay. So you got this little bitty thing. Now, most people don't understand, but something that is one-tenth of a micron in diameter that can functionally move is totally awesome for one basic reason. And that reason is very simple. When you get down to the submicronic levels in size, you also get down to the fun and games of passing through solid objects. Now, anybody that does not know their science well probably is not aware that if you take any subject and align the molecular structure of it to the spaces between the molecular structure of another object, it can pass those back and forth freely. No problem. Now, this has been going on since about 65, give or take. They've been playing with it. They've blown some stuff up. Don't misunderstand me. They have killed people. They have, and it gets raw, and here's why. The only thing that they found that would contain these things is that electrical charge. Well, if something is of that size, you have to have what is called a micron microscope in order to be able to tell it's even there, let alone really see it much. Micron microscopes did not come out until after the electron microscope. Now you begin to date things a little bit. If you look into your, look it up on the internet, you'll find it. Okay, the micron microscope is a combination of virtual and electronic takeoff of the electron microscope. In short, the electron microscope can see the atomic structure of something. So, if you take two pieces of substance, and they got to be awful little, and you can align them correctly, you can pass them back and forth, and they thought that was just, ooh, man, that's as good as making the wheel. That's better than sliced bread. Woo-hoo. They were just all excited when they were doing that, and then they come up with the stuff smaller. This was an accident. They weren't supposed to discover this stuff. This was supposed to dissipate. It was supposed to turn itself off at a certain given time frame. Problem is that it found that it could recharge itself in sunlight. Now, and most people are not aware of the full spectral capabilities of sunlight. Most people don't know how much of how many different areas are covered by it. But nanos are particularly fond of cosmic levels of radiation. You want to get into nanometers? You're squeezing a nanometer awful hard when you get up there, believe me. So light becomes a solid, not just a particle, but a solid at these sorts of areas. So what you get into is some real fun and games. The most basic of the problems was how to make sure that the thing that they could fool with it without getting infected or getting it on them, without letting it and without letting it out. So basically you put it in what's called a clear chamber. That's the cute little thing back in the 50s that you saw in the movies about atomic weapons where they used the mechanics. The guy had a set of gloves. He was insulated, and he saw on a screen what the mechanical arm was doing in another room. Okay, let's break this down to modern technology, and you have people actually handling things like the fuel cells and components for an atomic weapon and things of this nature with what would appear to be nothing more than a set of gloves. That insulative capability was one of the keys to this excursion they made into sci-fi on their own part. Now, this is supposedly, from what I got described to me through some other people, sci-fi at the level of a well-trained, well-versed, experienced physicist. In other words, they even have trouble comprehending what's going on. Now, I don't mean that they're stupid because they're educated only in one direction. I'm talking about somebody that has a pretty good overall view. Now, here's where the fun begins. they figured that, well, if it's if you charge it electrically, then we can control the thing. We can make it do what we want. So they tried varying ways to cause this little glob of stuff to move where they wanted it to. And it worked to an extent, which they were pretty happy with. Then they decided, well, we only needed a very little itty-bitty amount of this. So what would happen if we had a little scoop, the arm of which was charged, but the scoop itself wasn't, and we could just snatch off a chunk of it and steady it. Then we got a little enough piece that we don't have to worry about a big glob of it doing something nasty. They managed that one. By oh my. These people were just, they thought they were awesome. They felt like they were God. Whoa, looky what we can do. Who? And intent, oh my goodness, the tension in that place must have been thick enough to cut with a knife. And you got to remember, these guys are going to be doing this sort of thing for up to 5 years, minimum of 6 months, minimum, absolute minimum. And then they don't get off light. They come out of that place and they go to a couple of other places where the requirements are similar. So anyway, nanos are interesting critters in that it can walk through things that we consider solid because of the spaces. It automatically digresses away from the charged particles that make up the atom, and it passes through the field known as the weak force that is the binding agent of the molecular structure, paint, wood, steel, whatever. And it can walk around pretty freely. Ain't too much of nothing can stop it. It can also integrate its, quote, mobility mechanism, and there's several of them. I'm going to equate this to a little glob of a bug with no eyes, but it's got legs, and it can walk around. it can charge itself with a like force, similar to the binding force, and actually walk on the energy. Now, I want you to understand how that works. I want you to get that through your mind, that if it's like snowshoes in snow, very similar, only what you use instead of the size and the area covered to keep you from sinking, it simply charges it electrically, and it works fine. So these little turkeys can motor around and do just about anything they want to. These things are the simplest of formats. There seem to be no linkage between the individual components. Seem to be. Well, they got this from an extraordinarily high-tech place. And no, it wasn't from this planet. And no, they had little understanding as to its true capabilities. At a point where they were designated to shut off, as I stipulated, they found that they could recharge their batteries, so to speak. And that's a very loose concept, but they could recharge their batteries simply in sunlight. Now, the fun and problems started while these guys were fooling around with that little bit. The big glob was perfectly happy to sit where it was and mind its P's and Q's. If it decided to come over to the edge of the thing, they cranked up the voltage and the thing shied away from it back to the middle. Simple. You trained it like a flea. You put the lid on a jar, and after the flea bumps his head on that lid for a while, he gets the idea he can't jump no higher than that. Remember? Freedom? We can't jump no higher than because we have been trained that they will beat you over the head with the IRS or the NSA or the SWAT team will show up and take you away, ha-ha, to the funny farm and all this happy. Well, think about this now. This is the fun. These things have the capability of becoming a combinant, meaning that they can hook together. You remember pop beads? If not, you ought to look them up. They were a lot of fun. Every time my sister wore them, I popped them loose, and we had pop beads go everywhere, little plastic beads. It was fun. So, these things can connect. Now, here's the problem. They are simple in terms of, you know, walk from A to point A to point B kind of instructions. You put two of them together, and it's a little better. They can actually make decisions as to which avenue they want to take. You get three or four of them together. Now, I want you to think about this thing as a section of a snake, and they're adding to each other. You get to a certain point, and this little mojammer starts getting its own ideas. And I mean about everything. It becomes a virtual processor, meaning that any kind of an experience that it even feels, whether it be energy, whether it be your thoughts, whether it be intent and purpose, whether it be a puzzle that you're playing with it in, it can get its own ideas about what should be done and how it should go about it. And the really neat part about all this is that as they combine, they also can build up what's called a resistance. It's kind of like a force field around the little bug or whatever you're going to call this thing. And these little turkeys can become immune to your electrical charge no matter how high you run it. This was when the fun began at that particular installation. That facility lost its mind right about then. I know of 18 people who don't exist anymore. Why? Because the nanos ate them.
Now, I use that term loosely. When a nano needs something, it can assimilate the basis ingredients or subatomic particles right out of one of your molecules and do with it as it pleases, pretty much. They're not too limited. Now, this little glob, oh, man, I would say maybe a 32nd of an inch across. One little round spot of these things. And they were having all these problems all of a sudden. It became immune to the charge on the little scoopy deal that they were poking it with and started dissolving it. I mean, literally disconnecting the molecular bonding structure. The thing started coming unglued. There's a good example of this if you want to get an idea. The newer movie of the day the Earth stood still shows nanoparticles and some of what they can do. Now, and if you haven't seen it, I would, you know, go and learn. Some of these concepts are based in very realistic, very horrific experiences, not just somebody's imagination. So we take these little mothers and bump along with them. Now, I'm going to make some suggestions and ideas, and I'm going to want you to really think this through. These things apparently do not have what we term an appetite or a wants needs, other than getting in a little sunlight off and on, so that they are functional. Other than that, they do not go after people and eat them up, or animals, or anything else, as far as I know, as far as I can tell, and from all of the research materials that I got a hold of. What was interesting about it was that when they lost that, these guys tried to get out. None of the 18 inside made it. Two of the people who are on perimeter duty. Now, you've seen hazmat suits, I know. You ain't seen them like this. This looks more like something you'd go to the moon in. These are fully, absolutely self-contained, fully and completely airtight, fully immune to anything known to anybody. But they couldn't handle these nanos. Now, one piece of their equipment, if you got a pair of binoculars, you go down there. Now, like I said, don't touch that fence. I don't know if the nanos sit there and watch and wait for somebody to stick their finger out there and bite them or not. I really don't have an idea. But I looked through a set of binoculars, and I was pretty shocked because they're set, this spacesuit. Now, I don't know if you understand how many millions of dollars one of those is, how technically sensitive it is. You don't want that stuff out. You don't want people getting a hold of it. You do not want people, you don't want somebody grabbing it for a souvenir or whatever. You don't want somebody fooling around that area, so you have to double fence, and they tell you they'll kill you if you come in there or whatever. Never did see a guard. Now, just because I didn't see one does not mean there weren't any there. And, yes, we do have the capability of outfitting someone with what's called a bender system. The bender system bends light, and you can't tell they're there. You've seen the movie Predator, very similar. You can get sort of a bent, you can see at the edges some of the bent outline. And this is years ago. I'm sure they've improved since. But there's a 24/7 guard on the place. I saw that suit, and what really intrigued me was the manner in which it had been consumed. It was consumed in an absolutely perfect cut. Now, I know people have taken a hot knife and cut butter with it. I know people, I know that you understand the ideology, but this was much, much finer, much smoother a cut. There was nothing, no raggediness to it of any kind that I could see. I would imagine if you put that under a microscope, it would be perfect, down to a molecular cut. Anyway, these things escaped. And you got a, at the time, as I said, a little bit bigger than a silver dollar, maybe eighth inch in diameter. The height of the little puddle of them was about, anywhere from 3/8 to half an inch, give or take, somewhere along there. And I say a puddle of them because if you can imagine how small these things are, how many would fit on the head of a pin. When I read the research materials, I thought, my God, I hope I'm not infected. I hope I didn't transport any of these things just by being in the area. And I thought, no, I probably would have known that. I probably would have felt something somewhere or another. And one of the research materials stipulated that, and this was in some real raggedy handwriting. I don't know if this guy was being dissolved or how it works, but the handwriting kind of trailed off into Gaga land toward the end, but he did get enough out that he stipulated that you should see it at night. And he didn't say what it was. I thought, well, hell, I'll borrow my buddy's car and I'll put $5 in the tank and we'll go take a look. I'm curious now. So pulled into the gravel road, got out of the car, looked around, didn't see any rocks that had teeth or anything, so I figured I was all right. Bring the binoculars and night scope. Let's be comprehensive. Let's take a look. And I started looking back through there, and while I was looking, I heard a noise, a little clunk. What the hell? Oh, that came from over there. I had to change my position a little bit to get a clear view of it. This stuff apparently had modified some of the critters in the woods. Couldn't tell what it used to be, but it was a little different. There's three or four of them that glow in the dark, different shades. There's the particular part that creeped me out real bad was that this thing was eating an old steel 55-gallon drum. Not the contents, didn't give a shit less. It liked the steel and was consuming it. Now, I say eating. The critter was eating it. I think its nano adaptations that the nanos involved were consuming some of whatever part of the steel they really were interested in. But I want you to consider how exactly you would contain something of that nature. How exactly would you be able to affect it if it has the capability to function, which is its primary directive, walk around, at least. What does it do to organic material when it walks in between the molecules? What kind of adaptations and changes did it make in these critters? I got no idea. But I do know that their eyes glow in the dark. I do know that I was totally sober, made sure of that before I went there. I wanted to be sure that there was no influence of any kind whatsoever. I went by myself, and I about crapped, just to be honest with you. That was the scariest thing I've ever come across. So, maybe I should get the hell out of here. So I went and got back in my buddy's car, went back to the base. I went and talked to my buddy. We were tight enough, we were good enough friends, we were good enough acquaintances that I could talk to him about stuff. I said, man, I got to talk to you by yourself, someplace where we won't be heard no matter what. He gave me the strangest look. I said, dude, you got no idea. He said, you do look kind of raggedy. I said, you got no idea, man. I got to tell you. I got to tell somebody, and I'd rather have you hear it because you got some idea what the possibilities might be. He said, really? I said, yeah, and it ain't funny. So I gave him a real in-depth, real detailed description of some of this stuff. And by the time I got done talking to him, he was white as a ghost. He was thoroughly shit-scared. And so I said, he said, is that it? I said, God damn, ain't that enough? Think about what I just told you. He said, I don't want to. And so both of us are up all friggin' night. Can't sleep. Next day is Saturday, and we don't have any duties. And so about 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm to hell with it. And I went down and reported to CQ. I was going to go see a friend of mine. He said, you can't go business. I said, yes, I can. I got to. This is a security matter between me and him. dealing with some classified material. Really? Yeah, I'll let you know what the deal is if anything comes of it, okay? All right, go ahead. And so I go down to his room and get him up, and I say, come on, man, let's go. You ain't sleeping anywhere, are you? No. So we go out, and we sit in his car, and we smoking cigarettes, and somebody, I don't remember where we found it, the base Roach coach, I believe, had coffee and was making the rounds to the guards so that they'd be at the top of their performance when people started showing up in about an hour. Usually duty started at 6:30, sometimes before that, depending on what you were doing. Some traffic, then the heavy traffic. And anyway, so we got some coffee, and we're sitting there discussing it, and I said, you know, I know that's pretty fantastic, and I know you might even believe me, and we know each other, and you know I don't do LSD or anything, so there it is. I mean, this is way too far out for me to deal with, and so my take is this. I think we need to make a trip. And he said, you're shitting me. I said, no. I said, I ain't been in combat, but I've been trained. I said, I can run pretty good, and I hope these things are slow. And he kind of looked at me and grinned, but it was a sickly grin. I said, you can run too, can't you? Yeah. Okay, well. I parked the car at a distance from that gate on purpose. I didn't want somebody to give – I didn't want the MPs to come along and say, hey, man, what are you doing? You ain't supposed to be here, you know, or anything like that. I did not want to get in trouble with security or the idea of this information. And yet, I had to have somebody to unload it on. So I did. And we decided that, okay. So we went and got some chow. A little later, we fumbled around, went and watched a movie. Still couldn't sleep. Coffee long gone. And we still couldn't sleep. This was too hair-raising. So come that evening, by the time it was getting dark, we decided, time? Yeah, let's go. So I went and borrowed the night scope and the binoculars. We got out there before sunset. So it was still light enough to see, and I looked around with the binoculars, couldn't see squat. No critters of any kind. Nothing. Now, in a swampy area down south, I hate to tell you this, but there's always something moving. There's always bugs flying or something. This was what looked like a total dead zone. Nothing moving. There wasn't even no pricks on the water from amoebas or anything. Nothing. Dead calm. And I said, here, look at this. Look over and see what you see. See if you see anything. He looked it over, and he started getting a little antsy. I said, yeah, see what I mean? He said, yeah, you're beginning to creep me out. I said, well, wait till it gets dark and then take a look. You ain't going to believe it. And it got dark soon enough. We took a good look around. We made sure that we were going to be supposedly safe and clear by staying away from the fence and just going a little bit away from the road. And we took a look, and he didn't like it any better than I did. We took some notes and shit. Don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he kept them. I don't know if they got turned in or what the deal was. Don't really care. We come back to CQ, come back and reported to CQ that we had resolved the issue, that there wasn't an issue after all, so everything was good. They said, fine. So went back to our individual bunks. And you hear about these sciences. You hear about these people making advances into these areas. And my question about this stuff is, I don't think that we've gotten to the point of being able to program the nanos. From what I can find out, we're not there yet. We got, a year or two maybe, somewhere along there, before we can actually tell one of them little things what to do. But, and this is the problem, if these little mothers can appropriate trace elements and things like that and do things, and I don't know if they can replicate. I don't have any idea if they can build another one of themselves or not. I really don't know. But I do know that the idea of something being able to pass between in through the spaces in a molecular structure puts us at a pretty severe disadvantage. I mean, we're lucky to be able to see a bear if we got bad eyesight standing in front of us, unless it growls at us. Some people don't see a bus and run into them with their car, so you get the picture. The average person, forget it. They're going to tell you, they're going to ask you when the movie comes out. They're not even going to hesitate on that. But I figured that the audience might be ready for a little bit of a horror story. And if you see that that new rendition of The Day the Earth Stood Still, you're going to get a better idea of what could be done. I don't think they can do this. I've found that they can cause things to interconnect. That's about as far as they've gotten in terms of taking two trace elements and having them want to be together kind of thing, and that's as far as they go with the idea behind the nanos at this point. As I said, they got, I'm estimating 2 years, and that would be if they have a bunch of sudden discoveries in the process. But if they got this, they discovered this at that particular place in that particular manner, then I'm thinking that there's got to be other little puddles of this stuff all over the place. I mean, it's come from an ET craft. And I'm wondering, I don't have any clue as to what the ETs might have used it for. I really don't. I don't know if they used it to make sure that the skin of their ship acted like a living organism where it gets injured and it heals itself kind of thing, or what exactly. But pretty much everything I've told you is classified. Pretty much everything that I've stipulated in terms of science is also classified very highly. Of course, if you go mentioning it, they're going to say, "Ah, yeah, right, prove it," and giggle a lot and walk away from you, most likely. The difference between you and me is that they know me and they know where I was, and they've done some checking and found out that I do know some stuff that they would love to get a hold of. And my sciences deal with things that, over unity energy production, where they could have, where a guy could take something about the size of one of those metal cigarette containers and power a whole company with it. Lights, heat, no bit. Things of this nature. They really would love to get all of that. I ain't giving it to them. I don't trust what they do with it. They'd probably weaponize it or turn it on us or something of this nature. But the idea that this has escaped and there ain't squat they can do about it, and I understood that they sent some people in, but those people come back with really strange, really odd burns. They can find them. They had a thing in Vietnam called black syphilis. No cure. You give it penicillin and it would gobble it up. It liked it. You eventually went insane. And they had an asylum on the main island of Japan where they kept these guys that happened to get that. And people don't know about this. People, you know, if you got that kind of a disease wandering around, imagine what these nanos could do to you. I mean, I don't know what it might turn out to be in terms of that, but I do know that not only is this loose, but I've found evidences that these little globules of fun and games like this are all over the place. There are a lot of these crashes that haven't been attended to yet, because they weren't tracked correctly, or it was a landing crash where the thing was just about to land and it messed up, and the type of damage killed all the occupants, also shut down all their systems. So whatever containment they used on these things, or communication, or however that works, also went down. That means these little turkeys just marched right out the door, all over the place. People think that plastics and GMOs and things like that are bad in terms of pollution. Now you got one that walks around, and I don't know if it, gets hungry, what it might do. I don't know what it's hungry for, what its needs or wants might be. I don't know what happens when you interconnect a few million of them. I don't know what its capabilities and potentials are. But I figured you needed to know at least this much. Now, I'm sure Tom's got music, and I've got some things, other things to add on the backside. So, Tom?
Yes, we have, Jake. Hotel California. How true is it that they put some of the Vietnam missing in action in that place?
It's very true. Some of them people, I knew of four or five myself personally. And if that was just me in just one small area, I can imagine there were probably hundreds, maybe thousands that went there and never came back. My understanding is that they are incinerated so that the disease cannot spread. Now, the thing about black sif, as I understand it, it'll keep eating on organic material until there isn't any. Then it will, over time, die. It starves to death. But I don't know if it's got some kind of a system where it can lay dormant, like some of these diseases we're finding from several thousand years ago. I mean, there was a big virus that they... And I can't believe those idiots did that, but they resurrected that thing from the dead. I'm hoping it don't eat people. I'm hoping it don't have these capabilities. But, yeah, now the Hotel California that was a California flight. Let's see here. What the hell did they had a special name on it? I'll try to think of it. He had a special flight from hospital, and you got a one-way ticket. You were pronounced too biologically unstable and contagious to be kept in, even in a confinement ward. And I don't know if these people that took care of these guys, I don't know if they wore hazmat suits, I don't know if they put these guys in straight jackets or what, but I've seen some of the insanity, and it's scrape them off the ceiling type. I mean, it just totally lose it completely. So I don't know, you know, I understand you didn't live too long when it got to that point because it eats your brain, as I understand it. So, you know, and, you know, not nice. These things are definitely not nice. I mean, you think flesh-eating bacteria is bad. They got one that's a borer, and it bores through your skin. Feels about like a mosquito bite, itches like a mother, and it's a little bitty... It's almost like a Morgellons kind of thing, only this is actually an honest-to-God singular entity, live, natural, occurring apparently. You get that, and what it eats is the core out of all of your major organs, brains, liver, kidneys, bladders, everything. It likes the lining of the digestive system, you name it.
It's a case... really, it's a case of people with no compassion or no morals playing with things that they have no understanding of.
Well, in the case of the nanos, yes. In the case of these diseases, they kind of fell over them by accident. There's only been a few cases, but the people, when they found out what it was and how it worked, they executed them and took them out and burned them. Hopefully, getting rid of what was infecting them. I mean, it's like when the Black Plague was going on, they heat bodies up and burn them. They didn't know that the rats was carrying the fleas that carried the disease. So, you know, they were kind of screwed, but it did work to an extent. It did limit the disease some, but, I mean, you're dealing with rats and fleas, and even then, it wiped out a good portion of the European population. It also got over here in the States, wiped out a bunch of us. But the thing is, you got bubonic plague, you got diphtheria, you've got a variety of these old diseases. They just had an outbreak of mumps or measles or one. I forget which one it was. I think it was up in the Northeast somewhere. It killed like 10 people. So the problem becomes that people need to be our systems are set to a point where we need to be exposed to dirt, germs, and contagions on small dosage amounts, so that our system can not only identify but also know how to deal with it. I was not exposed correctly to tropical illnesses. If I had been acclimatized correctly by the military, I would not have got Japanese viral encephalitis, but I did. It put me on my butt in a coma for a week. I mean, you want fun? You talk about a headache. I went from 218-219 pounds down to 129 in a week. I wasn't crapping blood either. It wasn't something. My system fought back for everything it was worth. There wasn't much left of me, but I survived it. There's a lot of people out there who wouldn't be in that kind of condition to be able to do that. There's a lot of people out there that you look at this, and yeah, we got a bunch of sciences, and yeah, a lot of these are new to us. And are we handling the science itself correctly? Are we able to even use it the way it's intended to be used? I mean, these nanos apparently had their own idea what should be done, and they said to hell with it, and, you know, party's over, we're going, and off they went. I mean, anything, when you end up modifying living beings, and I don't have any clue as to lifespan of the modifications. I don't know if it's a quickie, could be long-term, could live forever, I have no idea, but that thing was eating a steel 55-gallon drum. And, you know, eats steel. I mean, that's what it eats. I mean, that could be a problem, especially if it goes chewing on some old I-beams and some old buildings in here and there or something, you know, or don't like the taste of your tires, so it eats the rim. I mean, you know, as long as they ain't aluminum, I guess it'd be all right. I don't, you know, think of what these things could do, and that they're loose, they're all over the place. I mean, these things are supposed to be attended to eventually, but right now we don't have any way to even insulate ourselves well from them. We're kind of at their mercy, speak. So there's a nice little horror story for everybody.
Right, this next song is rather apt given the first hour of the show. We'll be back shortly. Bye for now.
dead. We are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't.
Hi all and welcome back to the second hour. That was the Eagles, Hotel California and Celtic Woman and I Am the Voice. And here is the voice himself, Drake.
Hey. I hope that wasn't too intense for everybody, and I do hope it don't bother too many people too badly. That's real. These are experiences that other people don't have. And why exactly I get the fun of experiencing these things, I have no idea. I guess somebody feels I can handle it, so therefore I guess I get to play with it. Now, there are some things coming up that we'll find out about tomorrow morning at the latest. That's hopefully when I can get in touch with John Duresh. I'm hoping that I can get a couple of other people interested enough in the show to join us. Now, this is not a he said, she said, or any of the playing games that people are used to on these interview-type shows. This would be more of a tit-for-tat and things where you could actually learn more than what one person's perspective might bring out. And these are things that people are not really fully aware of. You need to be aware of what your freedom requires of you. You need to be able to go past what you're used to going past. You're going to have to learn some a combination of legalities, moral applications, what basically things have changed to from what they were. And part of that is learning your intel. That's a small part. The main part is learning where your standing is and to know it well enough to be able to stand against any and all comers. You're going to be there's going to be a lot of people who are going to come up against us saying this, that, and the other thing. There's going to be a lot of situations where so long as you stand correctly, you won't have problems. These things will be officially announced at the correct time. This time is not yet. Obviously, we've not set things free. However, in light of what's been going on, I honestly and fully suggest that people pay attention to the last shows that John's been on, that you look at the website, National Liberty Alliance, and that anyone who can, and I mean anyone who can, get involved. Now, the involvement depends on your capability in terms of time, your willingness to learn. There's 20, 30 hours of videos that you do need to assimilate. You need to take them into yourself to an extent where they become yours, to where you can actually subjugate any situation you come up against. People that I know who have used what John teaches and used it correctly have subjugated police departments, municipalities, and I don't mean going out of business. I'm talking about pulling their horns in, not going after the people, chasing them down the road to give them a ticket, not shooting somebody because they're a vagrant and they live off the grid in the hills, not killing somebody because they're uncooperative because you're stepping on it on the person in a subway station someplace. I mean, these are incidents that have been going on too long, too often. The good cops, the ones that, yeah, come on, you got to cooperate, you know that. It's all a game. We're not going to do nothing nasty to you. Let's go. I have seen the difference between the young and eager and crazy brave and the seasoned, experienced officer. Personally seen it. And I'm talking about gunfights across the street from my from some of the houses I've lived in. And I walked over and said, "Hey, I know these guys." "What do you mean? What did they get down?" I said, "No, I know these guys." "Hey, man, what are you doing with a shotgun? Put that thing down. What's wrong with you?" He did. Now, all they were doing was exchanging gunshots. They were killing the milk boxes on each other's porch and calling each other all kind of everything but a white man. "You rotten some bang," you know, that stuff. Well, some little old lady got woke up, and she took exception to the idea of having skeet shooting in the front yard at night and called the cops. Cops didn't know what to do. The young guy had his gun out. The other guy didn't. And I said, and wanted me to get down. I said, "Man, I know both these guys." I said, "Dude, you had too much to drink. Put that shotgun out. What's wrong with you? You know better than that. They're going to take me to jail. And this sucker fish here, I'm going to kill him." I said, "Well, you can aim better than that, and I know you. Neither one of you want to kill him, but it went from there." Both of them went to jail, absolutely. No gunshot wounds for anybody. They got back out, and everything was fine. I mean, they, you know, went back to work and calmed down. And actually, I think they probably eventually became friends, if I remember correctly. They were sitting on each other's porches drinking beers, so... it depends on what we want socially. It depends on whether we decide to take this to the level of a shooting war or whether we attend to it through citizens' grand juries. And I hope everybody paid attention and saw that case. These people are to be taken to jail. The list, it's out there, it's posted. I applaud the people who took that action. This needs to happen all over the place. You want to scare the cabal into hiding under the bed, believe me, putting them in jail works. It works, no question. So if somebody is seriously interested in being able to cause not only the system, now that's one part of it, not only the system to act right, but also the individuals involved, or they go directly to jail. Don't pass go. Don't get no fun games. Don't get no extra consideration. They just go in there with a hard place to sleep for a while. If you want to be able to take these kinds of actions against the corrupt and the corruption and fix it, we can do this. It's just that simple. You take the action, you run with it. I'm studying it right now. I'm gonna do something here in West Virginia. I don't know what it is yet, to what extent it'll go, but I'm definitely gonna give it everything I got. I'm definitely gonna be going after people that have played games with the citizenry because, oh, I got enough money, don't make no difference. Let's see how high we can make that guy jump. Now, I mean, quit it. You guys need to go play with yourselves, not us. You also need to quit sucking up everything of any value, no matter what it might be, just because you think that's the way to be. That's not the way to be. And people all over the world are protesting it. I know of at least 10 countries I've heard of that there's major protests against the government, their corruption, and they're lording it over everybody, using the Gestapo boot of the military or police against the citizenry when there's no call for it, and all that. So it's beginning to happen, and I would suggest the people that are really serious about this, get in on the ground floor. Seriously, get in on the ground floor. National Liberty Alliance, and I don't know, is it .com or .org? Tom, do you know?
Not too sure. Sorry, I think it's org. I'll check it now.
Okay. All right, but you know, these we have to make a reality. We have to make, and this is the fun part of it. We have to make a purse out of a sow's ear. We got, as you know, real serious problems.
.org, Drake.
Okay, I'll write that down so I got it.
NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Okay. We have got to do this. Nobody's going to come riding in, no white knight's going to come riding in over the horizon and put things right. You ain't going to have that. We are the white knight. We are the resistance. We are the patriots. And until people get that through their head and actually do a little something, and no, you don't got to go to extremes, but things do need to be attended to. I'm sure, and I have no doubt of this, that in each and every last state that this program's heard in, there's something going on that ain't quite right. And if it's funky, then these people can actually do jail time. It depends on how you structure the indictment. It depends on how what their reaction is to that process. Those people who stand in the way also can go to jail. This is why they do not interfere. Now, in New York State, they outlawed it, even though it had been approved by the Supreme Court as bona fide, legitimate fourth branch of the government. The fourth branch of the government is we the people. Us and them is a big dividing line. I don't know too many people, personally, that act like politicians or have much use for them anyway. What are they? Well, they're sucking up stuff that we could better use in terms of buying seed to plant crops with or taking care of cows or clothing our children, paying the rent. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of better uses that we could put the assets to. So, you know, and we got to start somewhere. And I mention this not because I want John's efforts to be some kind of profitability to somebody. That's not the case. He don't charge for it. They do not charge you. You don't pay. What you do is, and in some cases, at first you don't get paid, but you can call for allocation of funds, and the government has to supply it. They don't have a choice. Allocation of funds in order to pay two or three full-time people to take care of business. You need a clerk. You need a jury foreman and or investigator or investigators, as the case may be. Sometimes it takes more than one person. But if you got somebody that's a super sleuth that you happen to know of that would be interested in freedom, by all means, go to that website and do it together. I mean, I've buddied up with people in an office chair right next to mine, and we went through stuff. I've done that a lot. One of the best ways to learn, because each one of you is going to have the same question at the same time. It means you're on the same page and you got the same ideas. Well, you know, do I have my own ideas about what should be done, or what does the law say? How do you handle this? What is common law? How does the morality of the Golden Rule apply to the nature of things? How rotten are things? Are they to the point where they cannot be retrieved? I don't think so, just to be honest with you. The resets, the things that are to change, they're just about to happen. There's been some interruptions. Those interruptions are now past. It's time we're going to get down to business. Now, these people at high levels, whom I work with, are not going to. They're not going to hold back. They're not going to drag their feet no more. It has come to a point where they can see the writing on the wall. They understand now, okay, well, then we need to get involved. Okay, let's do this as secretly as possible so that nobody gets the idea as to who's doing what to who. Oh, okay. I mean, that post I made about where the Flight 370 went came from high-level intelligence, and not just one. It was corroborated. To go along with it, the person I got it from happens to have all the proofs. I'm talking about satellite pictures. I'm talking about radar readings. The whole nine yards. Nothing left out. Nothing missed. Now, that thing happened a while ago. Now they're talking about, oh, it's in Jerusalem, or it's over here, or it's over there. Well, that's possible. I haven't tracked it from where it went, but you're not going to find anything on mainstream media that comes close to the truth. And the truth is that the specific guidance system, just like you got on a missile, it's called autopilot, has the capability of being attached, attended to, and remote controlled. That means that something can fly along beside that airliner, bring it right down for a nice landing. Now, my question, and this is I couldn't care less about that airplane, just to be honest with you, other than that they're supposed to make a nuclear weapon out of it and drop it on somebody. I don't like that idea, but that was the that was one of the parts of the intel that I got. Now, here's the other part that I would like to have an answer for. Just exactly what the hell did they do with the people on board? Just where did they go? What happened to them? Did you take them off someplace and put them in a, are they still alive? I mean, there's a lot of questions in this. And I do believe that the people, let alone the relatives of the passengers, need to know what happened. And no, all of the government agencies involved do know what happened to it. They're lying. Just that simple. So now you get the truth. I'm not going to back up on some things because there are some things going on that everybody needs to know about. Everybody should be aware of so that you can, so that you the people, we the people, myself, everybody involved in this can understand by simply seeing the results of an explosion as to what was really done. The ideology that things have shifted from one place to another, the understanding that we now have allies in the freedom movement that are awesome. And no matter what you think, no matter what you think of things, and you're gonna have denigrators. You're gonna have people that are going to debase people. You're gonna have people that are that only work at disqualifying, only work at showing the bad sides of, and oh, this person was this, and they have not changed, and that, and ooh, the Russian bear is hungry, and Putin's leading the charge, and oh, he's gonna come gobble us all up. Yeah, right. I'll say this again. The lines, the new international borders, have already been designated. A lot of the smaller companies, countries don't know this, but the bigger ones do. It's already been decided. Some of the smaller countries have agreed to it simply because they'd be better off. You're going to have about five, and I say about because there's some ifs in there. It was about 8 or 10. Now there are going to be about five. Basically, and I hate this word, controllers or nationalities in areas. Now, this does not mean that the basic rights that we have here are going to be subjugated. The difference between a republic and all other forms of government is that it's the will of the people. Well, these people went deaf. That means that they can be removed from office for charges of treason. I want everybody to understand that. Who's got the guts? Who's got a citizen's grand jury? Who wants to take these people on? Who wants to subjugate these mothers? Bring them to tow. You're personally responsible. Think about it. Think about being able to right the ship of state and make America back into the strong, beautiful nation that it once was. Think about having a future for everybody. And it don't matter what color. It don't matter what your educational background is. You can do this, then you get paid that much. You can make money. There's going to be a whole bunch of this stuff come up suddenly. And I do mean suddenly. Now, some people are going, oh, I can't do pick and shovel work. Well, what can you do? I mean, there's got to be something. And we'll put you into that situation. Something that you like to do, hopefully. Oh, I like to paint. Cool. Then you're going to be an illustration artist. I am? Yeah, man. We're going to supply the paints and the canvas, and we're going to teach you how to do such and such, and you're going to just have a whole load of fun. Somebody that's a technician, and you can have housing technicians, framers, roofers, et cetera, structural carpenters. Think about construction. What's the limit? Well, you may have aptitudes for certain types of engineering you didn't know you had. And when you discover that it's fun, and when you discover that you can do something that you like to do, you'll never have to work another day in your life. Keep you out there having too much fun. It could be art. It could be science. It could be engineering. It could be some people actually like pick and shovel work. I mean, what's the limitation? limitation is the variance in the extraordinary diversity of people. Once we get this going, it's going to spread worldwide. This is not going to be confined to the United States. As we begin to order our society to a point where you don't have to carry a gun no more, you don't have to worry about somebody beating you up or groups of people showing up on the front porch and taking over or robbing a store or whatever's going on, you don't have to worry about this anymore. When you get to the point where you don't have to worry about that anymore, man, everybody remember when he was a kid and he got cut loose on a Saturday morning at the playground? Ooh. Yeah, you know, this time of year, and wow, man, we're going to have 75 degrees. And mom looks at the kids, and mom looks at the hubby, and hubby says, I agree. We'll take them over and throw them at the park and hold their ears. Hope they don't kill nobody in the process of going nuts. Well, you know, cabin fever. Mom and dad get cabin fever, too. I mean, but they get to let the kids whoop, holler, raise all kind of whatever, jump upside down and the whole bit. And the kids just love it, and they get to be kids. Unplug them. Take that cell phone. Turn the computer off. Bring them outside. Roll them around in the grass. They need it. I mean, you've seen the commercial, Dead of Winter. Person is all bundled up. It's blowing and snowing. And they're getting all kind of these notifications on the TV and radio, emergency declared, emergency declared. And they give the TV camera a constipated look and say, I need it bad. And then the commercial cuts to a beautiful beach in Florida somewhere. I mean, okay, that's the same way you ought to look at our freedom. This is the same kind of nicey-nice that you're looking at being able to accomplish. So, anyway, Tom, we got questions?
Yes, we do. Right, the first part, I just want to clear up some stuff. Lots of rumors going out, lots of people making extraordinary claims, so I'll run them by you. Talk of Obama in the Netherlands going on trial at The Hague for 700 plus counts of treason. Do you have any information you can share as to the truth of this situation?
Oh boy. Not at this point. Now here's what you have to remember, that you're going to have a combination of things released. There's going to be a whole load of them. And there's going to be a shitload. There's going to be, they're liable to get up to 20, 30 a day that are supposedly earth-shattering events. You have to understand that there's a combination of things in that. Parts of it may be true, and other parts of it may be pure imagination. So give it a little time. Let it fester just a little bit, and then suddenly we'll find out. Now, everything that people come up with in terms of questions on the show, I have decided to go ahead and take to heart and go out and look for. So I'll look into anything that we got. And if you got a question, we got a thing on our Facebook page where Tom advertises the show. Write your questions under that, please. This way I got something I can go back to. Because believe me, this is not the only thing I do. I do a load of other things. And yep. I may not be tuned in to what your question deals with at the point that I read it. So if I read it and it's got some of the info in there, then I can, you know, put a link in it. That's fine. That helps. I can go read what somebody says. I can look at the source, maybe talk to the reporter, maybe talk to the people involved. Sometimes I get to do that. It varies. But what the gist of it is that very few people are going to get truly inside information right now, and I'll tell you why. Obama put out a clear the ranks edict to the military. No exchange of information, no undue talking about anything anywhere. And we're going to go through and call the ranks. Now, certain people were talking, asking questions to find out who was who and what they were doing. This is why you're seeing people replaced. They're trying to get the good guys out and put the bad guys in, basically. Didn't work as well as they wanted to. So, on the intel side, they put down what's called a clamp. A clamp is forfeiture by you, whoever you are, who opens your mouth. You flap your gums, they pull your teeth, and they don't give you an anesthetic. They use a pair of pliers, and they ain't nice about it. That can entail simply sending you to Leavenworth, putting you on North Pole guard duty or South Pole, or sending you to a combat zone, whether you're trained to go or not. Here's your gun, here's your ammo, and give you a kick off the chopper. Enjoy yourself. They may not even drop you at a base. Depends on what the severity is. The other alternative is that you just turn up dead, and this is a clamp. And right now, a lot of the intel people are concerned about this, and I agree with them wholeheartedly. I'm not going to out things. They know I'll protect them. I also know that there are only certain avenues for certain information, and that information I'm not talking about right now, just simply so that nobody gets in trouble, because they'll figure out, well, it must have been this dude or that one over there. They might take a whole department and scatter them to the four winds and put their people in. I'd rather have somebody in there that if I really need something, I can ask them, rather than having that happen. So I keep my mouth shut. Next.
Has Obama actually resigned?
No. Next.
A story came out this week, Ohio woman by the name of Nancy, saying military came knocking at the door, said they would come back with vouchers for $2,000, and we're talking about common law. Is this correct?
From what I heard, no. You're going to have incidences where people show up and try to scare the crap out of people. Then you're going to have a total denial that the military or anybody else was ever there. Well, what are you talking about? That woman's crazy, apparently. Bingo. So you look like an idiot when you put things like that out. And consequently, this is why I shy away from a lot of the, quote, news, simply because a lot of it is way too out of bounds. We had one recently about the bad guys going over and taking all the gold out of the Ukraine. No, they didn't. Other things happened. So, you know, next.
Well, to the Cosmic Voice members, we're at a crossroads now. And these people will do anything to distract you from finding out the truth. And people are going to get misled. You know, there's been quite a few posts along this line of questioning this week. It's all distraction. And I've said this at the beginning of the week. The people who are posting them may not be trolls or anything. They just might be badly led or being set up. You know, we're all hoping for the end and the finish line and accept anything our way. But, you know, Drake's being consistent as best as he can be. And we move on. But you're going to get a lot of distraction posts from, you know, these people have got 10,000 employed in the Homeland Security just to go on sites like ours and cause distraction. Don't fall for it. Right, next question. Drake, why are they all of a sudden killing bankers? Why are they in such a rush to hide the evidence now? Is it because of fear something is imminent?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Very imminent. You're going to start having sections, areas in the financial system fail. And the problem is that when they start to fail, These people are legally obligated to keep that from happening. And they know inside information that the guys that told them to do that, made them do it, whatever. You took all the gold. Oh, thanks. these guys are subject, and they don't want to be subject. The easiest way to make sure that you don't have a problem is to make sure that he can't testify. And dead people don't testify very well, so there you go. These are not suicides. They are being suicided. Just that simple. This has been going on since the 50s. Worldwide. Now they're concentrating on certain areas, specific areas. One of the main things that's going on right now is the decision that the Supreme Court's going to have to make as to whether or not we have freedom of religion in this country and the Constitution stands. That's going to be a biggie. The other one is in terms of finance, and this is coming up, in terms of finance, who can be held directly responsible? Well, the people that gave the orders can be. But you have to make sure that the structure of the suit, presentation, procedures, and all that is followed exactly. You make any kind of mistake, and the technicality pops up, and you take that lawsuit to the trash can. You don't want these things to happen. So they don't want to be outed. The people that are telling these people what to do, you ruin this business over here, he's beginning to get too big for his britches. He's having too much success. So we need to take everything away from them. And they do. They don't hesitate. They do it. Why? Well, because they don't want to be in the same boat. Very simple. All of a sudden, a computer is loaded with child pornography and the guy goes to jail for it. Well, to me, and I know there's pedophiles out there and there's people that do all that stuff, and I will suggest that somewhere around half of the ones that are exposed ain't real. They're perpetrated. So, you know, take a guy up on, you know, come with us at the point of a gun. I mean, you walk in and kill a couple of people and you take somebody upstairs and throw them off the roof. Simple. And then you come back down and dispose of the bodies. There's no evidence left. You know, what do you do? I mean, these cover-ups and stuff have been going on for years. You've seen it in the movies where you know, have a whole big office complex using a whole floor of an office building, and the guy comes back with the police and everything's gone. A few little pieces of paper laying around, that's it. Oh. And they say, well, it must have been an agency. Well, I'm not going to put the agencies in that, not near as much as I would the private form of the same thing. So you get a combination private-public. It's sort of you've heard of the private-public partnerships. Well, there you go. Next.
Right. Drake, you mentioned a few shows ago that if he didn't move before 45 days, it would be too late. Is it too late now?
No, we haven't approached the culmination of that. And that time frame got extended on us a little bit. Not much, but it's a little more breathing room. We've got some things to accomplish here in the next few days. I'm going to be probably very busy making sure that I help get those things done. You're going to start seeing things in the news that you didn't think you'd ever see. And some of the things that are coming up that are going to happen are going to be world shakers. Next.
Right. With 100,000 foreign troops in Washington, D.C. this March, Spring March, Operation American Spring is set up. Is it a setup to be a trap for the people?
I heard that it was, very probably. Now, forget the foreign troops. You're going to have the same thing that happened in Washington, D.C. once before. And I put this out recently. I'm trying to remind people that anybody that's a veteran that has gone up against the VA knows this, that they're unscrupulous. They will do anything to make sure that they don't have to offer you benefits. And I do mean anything. they opened up with machine gun fire. One of our famous generals who became a president, was the assistant, and you don't just go mowing people down, but they did. That part was conveniently scrubbed. It's been scrubbed from the internet for a while now. At the time, I did not have the capability or knowledge as to how to download and keep a copy. I wish I had. But it shows the 30 caliber water-cooled machine guns mowing down people that had been promised severance from the military. Similar to what we got now, they drag you along for 5-10 years and hope you die from some kind of funky whatever it was you got involved with in the military so that they don't have to pay you benefits. Just that simple. I mean, that's rather insidious. That's pretty nasty. The contract we got is that they will take care of any combat-related or military-related or service-related problems that we develop because of what we went through. Okay, well, when you disable so many people as they have, and I'm going to give you the ideology that anybody who goes to a combat area or theater who gets their combat readiness triggered, in other words, you're loading bombs, you get excited, it triggers it. Anybody who has their combat readiness triggered has PTSD at some level or another. Everybody. You ain't going to convince me otherwise because I have shown these people their triggers, a few of them. They say, oh, I never was affected. Really? I dropped a firecracker behind this one guy, and he went almost 4 feet straight up in the air. What's the matter, man? I know nobody else in this bar got that excited over that stupid firecracker but you. Oh, he turned all kinds of shades of purple. You son of a... Hey, calm down. You told me that you didn't have that, and you do. You need some help. We later talked about it, got things worked out, and I helped the man out. People don't realize. It'll be years later. Now, they're trying to say, oh, now we got a time limit. We're going to say 10 years and the effect's gone. We're going to say this and that. Well, the contract is simple. We performed our duty. That's their turn. And yet the administrative problems come right into play. I used to have a recording of a guy that had memory problems. And so he carried a voice-activated tape recorder. And he heard a couple of doctors talking about, man, we got to do something with this guy. We were told not to give nobody else benefits. We got to stop this. We got to find some kind of excuse. They strung him along twice before he got a lawyer. And then he ate those two doctors for lunch. They no longer can practice medicine anywhere in the United States, first. Number two, they also went after the administration because the doctors, in lieu of going to jail, told what they knew. In other words, they got immunity from being prosecuted to go to jail. Now we got an IRS lady that's saying, hey, I know stuff. Well, maybe we should say, okay, you don't have to go to jail, but the question should be, how many of the high guys can you take down? How many of these people have you got evidence on? And she comes out with a decent list. By God, give her full immunity. Nothing happens to you. We just need your testimony. But you're going to have to really be careful. Why? Neil Keenan got bit by a bug, about killed him. This will give you an idea as to the lengths that they will go. Go from there. Next.
Yes. Here we go. But this is to do with comments made last week about the missing plane and the robot facilities. Who has the plane? Is it the Navy or the Cabal?
In this case, you're dealing with Black Ops, which is generally fully controlled by the Cabal, the Navy, and other military operations. Not the whole of it, and not everybody, but certain portions of them operate according to the bidding of the Cabal. They do as they're told, period. When you take over the remote control, you land a plane, and you're supposed to unload it. Now, I don't know what the cargo was. I heard it was nuclear. Nobody knows what that cargo was. They couldn't find out. However, they unload the cargo, then they could take the plane and do what they want to. Well, the ideology, as I understood it, with the plane was to outfit it in its airframe with a nuclear weapon and drop it on a city. I have heard several different cities. So, you know, take your pick. Now, if they're moving that thing around, it would be similar to the nondescript undisclosed, all-white, no identification aircraft that are used to go into certain secure areas like Area 51 and things of this nature. Give it a quickie paint job so you can ID it. And if you wanted to, you can make it into a KAL or anything you want. These people are professionals, and they can hide stuff real easily. Now, that base on that island has been a hideout, an exchange point, for a long time. It needs to be outed. People need to be aware of it. And I'm talking about the public. I'm not talking about just the other militaries. There's several militaries that know about it. What I'm saying is that it's time for the secret, the deadly secret operational parts of the military to start being outed. This is one of the main grievances that you'll find from most of the people who are considered our enemies. That we got all this secret stuff going on, and you know, hunter killer patrols, bombings. And I recognize some of them. I mean, they were so blatant about it and ridiculous about it. If you've got demolitions experience, you've been taught to do certain things a certain way, and you can recognize it. So, you know, I saw it. If I can see it, I know a lot of other people did. Look at that. They're trying to say such and such did it. There just ain't no way. There's a difference between C4 and fireworks. Just that simple. Next.
Right, we're at the top of the hour, Drake. We're going to have a couple of songs, and we'll be back shortly. This song's going out to a special friend of mine, and it's Tanath.
Thank you.
Hi all, and welcome back to the final hour of Cosmic Voice tonight, and I'm going to bring Drake back in. Drake, are you ready?
Yup.
Hello? Right, you ready for some more questions?
Well, of course.
Yeah, here's a different one for you. When collecting rainwater for a greenhouse, how do you filter out the chemtrails?
Okay. I would use what they call a California gravity filter. There are a few things that you can do, and one of those I would suggest is to, if you really want absolutely clear water or clean water, use a Birkenfeld. I recommend that because the chemicals are too big to fit through the filters. And subsequently, you don't have that problem out the other end. But a California filter consists of a combination of sands, gravels, and activated charcoals and things of this nature that will take care of the problem. So you'll have to investigate as to how far into that you want to get as to how clean you want that rainwater. You can plant certain crops, and I would go online and put in your search engine removal of chemicals, removal of atomics, and things of this nature, plants that do this, and you'll find a load of information on it, okay?
We didn't get round to the second part before. Was it China or the Chinese cabal that was building these robots you were talking about last week? Who is going to remove these robotic facilities?
Well, you got to understand there's two basic sides to all this, good guys and bad guys. The Chinese are not as such bad guys, neither is Russia. So that leaves limited resources in order to do such things. The idea would be to have a robotic war where instead of you taking on a Terminator, you got another Terminator that takes the Terminator on. This eliminates hazardous duty, the opportunity for Terminator to get its skinners on you, that sort of stuff. So that, as I understand, was the idea. Okay?
Yes. I'd like to say thanks. That those questions are from a guy called Ernie. He amuses me with his jokes on the Cosmic Voice email page and has a lot of interesting questions. So thanks for that, Ernie. Next question. A few weeks ago, you were asked about the up-and-coming announcement by Courtney Brown that will change the world, saying you knew about it and were part of it. Was there supposed to be more to this announcement?
The rest of it is getting ready, is taking place as we speak, or being culminated to a point where it can be acted upon, and that's all I can say.
Okay. Some questions from the first hour. How big was the animal in the woods? What color were its eyes? And how big was it?
Okay, about the size of a groundhog in terms of physical size, only it was taller rather than squat like a groundhog. Its physical color was not something that you could really tell what it was. It looked like a black furry background with a bluish electrical aura. The eyes were a reddish color. And the teeth looked like polished stainless steel. I'll let you go with that. Okay?
Okay. Are the nanoparticles you're speaking of the sentient oil, the black goo? It is a black viscous liquid resembling crude oil, but it's alive and intelligent.
No. This particular one was not. This is a different type. I don't know if it's a military application or what it might be. I'm familiar with what you're talking about in terms of the black goo, and that's real. Though I have not seen any form of aggression from it, unless you go over and try to set something on fire, it'd probably bite you. It's just pretty simple. You don't want to go petting rattlesnakes. You won't do well. Until such time as people are capable of direct communication with it, I'd leave it alone. Next.
The second part was, gray goo is nanotechnology gone renegade. Was this what was in the Gulf of Mexico?
As I understand it, no. What was in the Gulf of Mexico was strictly, I won't say strictly. Let's put it this way. It was stated as crude oil, but it was a little more than that. Not much. And no, it didn't have any specific special qualities other than the fact that it's a mess. Okay?
Drake, is there a nanotechnology that only eats Blue Blood's elite cabal parasites?
Well, if there is, we need to find some and spray Washington with it.
Yes. Is it true that the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has just been released? And the second part is, why has the relationship with the Saudis gone down and been strained?
Well, first of all, let's see here. The reason we've got problems with the Saudis is they're the ones that did 9/11 in terms of transportation and personnel. The other problems, there's a whole load of problems involved in all this. The main one being that you got these people in positions of capability and power, and they abuse it in terms of going after somebody. I do not, and I want to be very specific about this, I do not advocate that. Now, by going after somebody, I'm talking about all those bombings all over the place, the deaths from drone strikes, be they ours or others, and there's more than one, by the way. Let's see here. The it goes to the intended purpose. Besides that, they're going to raise the price on crude. Not go by the world market, but just state a price. Here it is. Take it or leave it. The idea of destroying the United States ecology, pretty much totally, to become the number one producer of, a quote, oil, gas, etc., to me is bogus, totally. First of all, there's not enough of it to fool with. There is enough to make money off of, so they're doing it. It's like the mountaintop removal for coal. That's pretty nasty. You leave a when you get done with something like that, you basically leave behind a moonscape, and I don't think anybody wants to live there. It's sort of like the Mojave Desert. Go down there and tool around and see how you like it. We don't need that here. Basis of what is going on is that they're getting desperate in several ways. The Saudis didn't like Obama at all for varying reasons I won't go into, but they pretty much hate his guts, and a couple of them said so, and he took exception to that, and so the relationship got strained, and then they decided to take certain actions that supposedly they had agreed not to do. This is a world stage deal. Then to go along with it, you got the problem of back in the 70s when they had the oil restrictions. They were pumping everything that they could pump and all of this, and they said, okay, shut her down. And they did it for like 2 weeks. I mean, you want to screw up an economy, turn your gas off. And by the way, Putin does know this, and the EU don't want that to happen. And they like to have the crude oil come across the border to them too, so they don't want the crude oil to go. Putin has already made arrangements that if Obama keeps running his big, flapping his gums and running his big mouth, he's going to take definitive actions against the United States. And he's going to stipulate the reasons for doing that, just like I just did. Tell the bad boy in the White House to shut up, I've heard enough, basically is what you're going to hear. And there are means that everyone can take that would subjugate the United States pretty badly. These have been around, and everybody's been aware of these for years. We are not in a good position on the chessboard in this respect at all. The EU is not either. Neither is the United Kingdom. Specifically, other nations in Europe don't want the problems. They don't need to. Everybody has been at war since the 1800s, off and on. Then it got more prominent, more regular, shall we say. And they just don't seem to quit.
Well, now we're since the Rothschilds came into power.
Yeah, well, it's not a question. It's not even a question of that. It's a question of our being willing to go, our being willing to do this. It's way past time for us to tell McCain and these other war hawks, well, you want a gun and go over there, or you want to shut up? Which is it? Oh, he'd bust a gasket, but somebody needs to put their foot down and say, look, you want to be a hawk? We'll give you the weapons and we'll drop you off, and you can take care of business for us. We'd like that. Well, these people don't got the guts or the intestinal fortitude to do so, because every time you really bring it up to them like that, they shut up. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell you to say it out loud. Well, yeah, really. But they think they got a bully pulpit. They think that McCain tried to get us to go to war for 9/11. That was the purpose of it, to start World War III, and it didn't happen. And they really, oh, that really broke their hearts. But they got the Homeland Security Act out of it and took a whole bunch of our rights away. Think they can do anything they want. Then you got NDA. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on. So, yeah, we got to take the helm and say no. Simple. I like the idea that Obama's calling for these other countries. Says, look, we're tired of being your boys on the battlefield. It's your turn. Step up or shut up. And I don't know if you noticed, but all of a sudden, the only person flapping her gums at all is Merkel. And she's not exactly flapping her gums in the right direction. The EU, the politicians like to talk loud, long, and make noises and rattle the saber, and we're going to take you apart, yeah, right. I mean, and you know, until something actually transpires, nothing's going to happen. Now, if you want to know about what's going on, take a look. This is obvious. Everybody's reporting on it. You got news cameras and teams all over the place out the yin yang, looking at Crimea, looking at all of the Ukrainian border, looking at these other countries. They're watching real close. Ooh, the Russian bear. Putin's going to gobble something else up. I wonder who's it going to be now. Well, that's not the question. The question is who's going to vote to leave the control of the central banking system. Now, you have to understand, the central banking system is the primary cause, reason, and culprit in most all of these things, to include the riots in the Ukraine, to include the riots in Egypt. Remember, there was people stepping out from behind a corner, unloading a 30-round magazine through an AK-47 at the troops. And the troops responded with fire. And the guy's standing back around the corner going, that worked, I got my $500. It's not difficult to understand that you have agency agitators. And I'm not putting this on the CIA or anybody. I'm saying that these agencies are specific black ops, deep plants that the corporations, specifically banks, we'll finance you, but we don't think you can win. Well, it's okay, finance us. We need the ammo, okay. They finance both sides of the war, so they're covered. Why? Because it's we the people. It's the people that live there and the countries who have to pay it back, supposedly. It's not, you know, they make their interest rate double and triple. I mean, and this is a common practice and has been for years. This has got to stop. We got to quit being the bully on the block. We have to operate a much more intelligent capability of handling situations that are not in anyone's best interest. One of those ways, now, I like what Obama did. He said, well, we need these other countries to step up. He only said it once, and they told him to shut up. If I don't answer the question, I don't know what does. Next.
Can you expand a bit on the amount we're using our strategic petroleum reserves? Is there something more sinister behind that? Perhaps we're being cut off from the imports?
No, we're not being cut off. We import way too much oil. It's too lucrative. There's too much money involved. Somebody will supply it. As for the strategic reserves, you're only seeing a little tip of the iceberg. They have not been fully released. If the strategic reserves that the United States holds was ever fully released, we'd be paying 50 cents a gallon for gas at the gas pump. That's how big it is. So, you know, these poor countries like, Great Britain, what do they got? $5 a liter or something?
No, 11. Nice. $10, $11 a gallon in the UK.
Okay. Think about that cut being cut by 80%. Think about $3 gas over there, and you get the idea as to what kind of a boon that would be. Now, it won't last long, but that would be the kind of effect that it would have. All of the major people involved in the petroleum business, and I do mean all of it, would suffer greatly. Well, this is big oil. This is the big money. This is your backers and owners of BP, Standard Oil, and places like that. Bingo. Now, those people are still dirty, and they're still taking a giant crap in the middle of the cornfields everywhere. I've heard about five. They got like five or six spills that are pretty sizable right now, and that's out of pipelines. They're saying pipelines are so great. Well, one problem with that is you got to maintain that sucker. And you got to understand that oil, when it passes through a steel pipe, wears it out. Oil's got little chunks of carbon in it. And it's sort of like using plasma to cut something, very similar. Because what plasma does is it recirculates the material it's cutting and uses that as the cutting media, generally. And, you know, so the Alaskan pipeline, they have to replace that sucker pretty soon, or it's gonna bust a whole bunch of seams all over the place. Do you think Exxon was bad? Think about however 1,000 miles you got, and the thing's 3 foot in diameter, and there's more than one of them. I mean, you talk about a mess. You think there's these little spills here or something? Think about flooding California 3 foot deep in crude oil, and you get the picture. Next.
Drake, can you please speak about the coming debt forgiveness and the price de-indexing back to the 1950 levels?
Well, you're going to have a little bit of whoopity-doo in terms of a roller coaster ride involved in all that. And I'm going to give everybody an example, and it's political. Straight right down the tubes, up your yin-yang political. I don't know if anybody's been listening, but the Democrats want to raise the minimum wage to $10. Say we got $7.25 as a base, they want to make it $10.25, and they give you a $3 an hour raise. However, they also want to keep Obamacare in place as it is. What that means is they're going to charge you $4.50 for Obamacare. So you're going deeper in. You think minimum wage is bad now? Think about making only $6 an hour. Think about it very carefully. My suggestion is that you don't worry about the minimum wage being raised, but that there should be a combinational proposal in that. Now, don't think about the ideology that anybody can come in and shake things up in an overall basis and not cause a bunch of adverse effects. Some of this is going to be adverse. In terms of the reset, many of the businesses that normally are retail may close. Temporarily, we don't know what to do because we don't know how much to charge because we don't know if the money's worth anything, you know. So you go down and you talk to the owner and you say, look, I got gold and silver and I'm willing to purchase with it according to spot price. Would that be acceptable? And the guy's going to think, well, that ain't too bad. At least I know gold and silver is worth something. Now, the thing about gold and silver is that both of them have been suppressed. Everybody's heard about the problems at the COMEX. Well, that gives you a price basis for the commodities involved that are the backing for currencies. In other words, they go to the value of currencies. See, currency going up and down, the gold's going up and down, gold and silver, platinum, a few other things. So you may have a few days where nothing goes on. Then shortly after that, it will start up in one form or another. It may be a barter system right at first. I will suggest that if people were smart enough and able to invest in what's called junk silver, that's 1968 and before American coinage, then you have an 85% content of silver, whatever the spot price is, bingo. You can cover your gas and your needs, your food, that sort of thing. So basically, this is why I've been saying, you know, get into it a little bit. The price is going to go up and down sideways until they're done fooling with it and we take them out of the play. Two things. If we take them out of the play, the price is going to steadily go up. It's not going to come back down for quite a while. It's going to steadily climb and stuff's going to become more and more valuable. Now, number two, as the reset takes place, and the reset of currencies is going to be on a standard that people are not familiar with. It's similar to the gold standard, but a bit different, the gold standard we used to have. So you're going to have a situation where when the reset takes place, are we going to have $25 loaves of bread, or are they going to go back to a dollar? And is it a dollar? Can dollars be used? You've got two notes out there right now. I posted this and reposted it and tried to get everybody to pay attention. You got two notes out there. One that says Federal Reserve note, and the other one that says Treasury note. Well, there's not a lot of difference, but there is considerable difference. The Treasury note is the new authorized legal currency. The Federal Reserve note, because of the expiration of the charter for the central bank and the IRS, they now are a part of the Treasury. Been some changes. So during the reset, you're going to have to go back, reconsider. Now, the unaligned nations, there's somewhere around 160, 180 of them, have already decided and agreed to two or three different basic types of valuations. I'm familiar with some of them. There's one that I particularly like because it goes on a combination of the capability of production of a country. That includes all of its areas. It might shine like crazy in one and not be worth squatting the others. And whatever natural resources it may have at a basic idea of price versus cost, like if you pull oil out of the ground or you mine something, that sort of thing. And it is based on the basket idea, irrespective of that, because the banking system has perpetrated fraud against the people, it's going to be relieved of the capability to do so any further. This means that you're not going to be paying taxes because there's some pipelines that got to be sealed off, among other things. And what taxes might be requested, not forced, you gotta, et cetera, but requested. Can you please pay us? 1% would cover us because you're not going to need the federal government as much under a constitutional republic as you would need under a democratic socialist-leaning problem that we've got now. There's a big difference in the amount of government. You're not going to need all these people. Now, you're going to have people that take care of things such as trash pickup, such as road maintenance, such as road repair, such as certain infrastructure repair. These things can be financed at a heck of a lot less than what they've been charging us over the years in terms of a combination of federal and regular old taxes. This means that $21 and something that you got to pay for the phone line, it's going in the trash big time. That means that the excise and other taxes and whatnot placed on the fuels, you're talking instead of $3.50, you're talking $1.75 maybe, or $1.50 per gallon for fuel. And that's gasoline. to me, I don't mind paying these people to remove the snow and make sure that the roads are usable. I'm making sure that the bridge don't collapse when I drive over it. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's cool. This allows me to function. And there's a lot of people that need to go to the grocery and they get across the bridge to get there. I mean, it's not difficult to understand true public works. Okay. Then you have the other part of true land ownership and alloyal titling, where the only obligation you have is to the person you are indebted to. And if that debt is released, then you have a true, full, alloyal title. The full alloyal title, as exercised, is very similar to staking a claim on unclaimed land. You basically fully, completely own it. Now, then you have common law coming in, replacing all the gobbledygook. So the ideology of the regulation that the EPA does to you in terms of relationship to land and all this other happy stuff is going to be greatly overhauled. We're going to take a V12 and make it into a V6 at the very least in terms of what you're dealing with. It's going to be simple, everyday English so anybody can look at it, read it, and understand what they're talking about. Now, I have my own ideas of what should be done. I think that the poverty level should be used as a break point. I think that a 10% rate at double the poverty level should be starting to be graduated in. In other words, by the time you reach double the poverty level, you should be paying at minimum 10% maximum. You might pay another 2%, 1% or something to local so that they, you know, plow the roads in the wintertime or make sure it stays paved and, you know, stuff like that. The bridge is maintained. I don't have a problem with any of those ideologies. I don't mind paying a tax so long as two things happen. One, we know what's happening with that money, where it's going and what it's being used for, and it gets used for something that deals to the benefit of the general public, maybe an individual. You got your rights and all these other things coming in. I mean, this is a complicated subject, and I'll let it go there.
Or a health service.
Everything. Everything is going to be restructured. We have to take our society and put it into a condition where everybody benefits, both individually and collectively. The only way to do that is to offer people the opportunity to actually see a result from from the benefit of having whatever it is. In other words, do we really have to have foreign relations? That's political. No. Do we really have to have a State Department? Not really. Most of the things that are done in the State Department can be done at the post office. Do we really need banks like we got them? Not really. The post office used to be the bank. I mean, there's, you know, you can go back, I mean, and actually restructure things to where it used to be. And the post office could use the business right now. Now, the reason the post office is in trouble is because of legislation that requires them to fund pensions that they ain't even hired the person for yet. That's where the problem is. Let them keep their money, and let's run their pension through a trading platform so they can be independent of, not beholden to, not under the political control of somebody. I mean, you know, everybody needs to understand how in-depth and how far-reaching freedom truly is and what we need to know about it so that we can operate correctly. It's not difficult. A person starts a business because they're good at something, whether it's framing houses or cleaning toilets or whatever it is, doesn't matter. And they can then basically expand that business. But in today's world, most of the people that have started businesses before and been successful and have going concerns now have stipulated quite clearly on several different news channels I've seen on the Internet, they wouldn't attempt to start a business in this regulation-gone-mad, unfriendly tax environment of today. Why should somebody pay taxes on an estate? There's no reason for it other than that somebody's hungry and they want your money. The tax has already been paid. My property taxes are up to date. Any income tax that was ever owed to anybody has been paid. So therefore, if it's already been taxed, the only thing you can tax me on is an accrual in value. Period. Whether they like it or not, it's not my problem. I think real estate, I think that estates, I think that even paper holdings such as stocks, bonds, things of this nature, should be basically tax-exempt if the tax has been paid. The only part that you would pay tax on is your shares of stock that made $1.50 dividend. Then the tax should be as regular income according to your income level, not to screw you in the butt 40 or 60% or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things that can be changed to the advantage of everybody. There could be some tax paid. Now, the management of everything. Do we really need that much state government? No. Why? Because we won't have all them laws, rules, regulations, and gobbledygook they've been putting out for years. It's going to be erased. Common law replaces it. Bingo. All the statutes, all the municipal ordinances no longer apply. Basically, they are unconstitutional. We have a constitutional republic. The Constitution stipulates the laws of the land, limitations on government, and a few other things. They've been working on chewing chunks off of that for a long time. Well, now it's our turn. We are going to get to decide basically what takes place. Now, and I don't know of anybody that would not be willing to pay on a local basis a 1% tax to make sure that things are took care of. Well, how much do they need? I mean, you pay $20 a month. Well, there's 30 days in a month, so if you're only paying $20 a month to have your garbage picked up, and the guy's got to drive 8 miles one way, then it's got to be worth it somewhere or another. Well, okay, let's raise it to 50. Let's make several people pay that amount. Then you got enough to cover the gas and maybe some kind of old beat-up vehicle to haul the trash in. I mean, You have to think in terms of if you were doing it, what would be required, what would be needed. And then you have to look at what's fair to everybody. You can't charge a poor person the same amount of taxes you would somebody that's wealthy. That ain't fair, period. This is very complicated. I mean, I probably end up writing a book on the subject. Let's go to the next question.
Right. Have the low-level sweeps already begun? Are the FBI raids on Democrat politicians that occurred yesterday the beginning of the low-level sweep as part of the plan?
You have to understand that most of the people involved in real, true, honest law enforcement are going to be involved in rectifying the illegal criminal activities. And it don't matter who it is. And I'm not gonna put it to just the Democrats. There's a whole bunch of Republicans that are just as funky, just as dirty, just as nasty. There are different levels of this. Now, what they're trying to concentrate on is to make sure that people that have committed criminal acts of whatever sort are beginning to be brought to justice. They're making a big show of it. Now, I personally would love to see them start taking everybody. And by everybody, I mean both Democrat, Republican. Don't worry about their political party. He happens to be a Democrat, but he's a crook first. Whether he's Republican or Democrat makes no difference. These are the people we need to watch. These are the people we need to attend to. And these are the ones that we got to take care of. So there it is.
In my opinion, we need to remove all Republican and Democrat, liberal and conservative, and just start again. Not just people acting for the people of the country, not divisive parties. You know, that's part of the problem, divide and conquer.
One of the main problems they had was they had a vote recently. It's been a little bit of a time. But they had a vote not too long ago, and it had to run through both the House and the Senate. I want everybody to think about how many people we got in the House of Representatives, and I want you to know that 8 people were allowed to vote out of that huge number. In the Senate, 4 people. Now, that's it. You know, when you get into the brass tacks of constitutional issues, you have to have a clean voter. Period. Doesn't matter what kind of representative they are. Consequently, they made damn sure who it was righteous, clean, squeaky, that sort of thing. I'm not going to name names. I know who they were. And I applaud the agencies that took the time, trouble, and whatnot to see to it that this was done properly. I got to give them credit big time. It don't happen very often. So, you know, taking everybody out, no. There's a whole lot of small fry that don't look exactly like they ought to be, that they would be righteous or clean, because they had dealings with, say, Rockefeller or somebody, a name, or Bush, or somebody that we know ain't exactly kosher. Well, just because they had dealings with them does not necessarily mean they did anything illegal. It also does not necessarily mean that they're a wholly owned subsidiary thereof. It could mean that they just simply didn't have any other choice but to deal with these people to some extent. And I'm not going to hold that against them. anybody that deals with the government, and I'm going to say this, anybody pay taxes, you deal with the government. Therefore, does that make you guilty of what the government does? Not really. So, you know, I don't go with that guilt by association very easily. Next.
What I'm saying is I don't see why we have to have an opposition in government. You know, if they were doing the job properly, you wouldn't need an opposition.
Not necessarily. It depends on the take or attitude somebody brings to the table, whatever the issue may be. And you can pick a whole bunch of them. But you should have the offering of candidates. Now, I personally don't want a religious nut using whatever their belief system is to the extent that it would influence their decisions in terms of the law that governs me.
on the other hand, I don't want somebody that is a total absolute, don't believe in nothing at all, atheist type, in that position either. So maybe it would be a third candidate. This is why I've stipulated, and I'll say it again, everybody needs to pay attention to this. Don't go by party of any sort. Do not believe that an independent or anybody else is any better than anybody else. What you need to do is look at the voting records and what that person has done within their life that would make them a qualified candidate first, and secondly, somebody who takes all of their emotion out of the legalities involved in the administration of governance. Then you get that squeaky clean candidate that will just scare the whatever out of everybody.
Yes. Right, next question. Since Neil Keenan's pending lawsuit will be filed in New York federal court, and every county has been constituted by the common law grand juries in New York State, what does that mean for the green light?
Well, that means that they're going to topple the central banking system in the United States. That means that they have perpetrated crimes and that there are guilty parties, and all of us are the injured party, and that these people are going to pretty much cease to exist as far as public life goes of any sort. I mean, they'll have their parties in Leavenworth or somewhere. The situation is that the idea is not to destroy. The idea is to remove those who have destroyed and taken whatever they felt like they wanted to get the crooks out. You get the crooks out, put decent people in, you won't have problems. Now, the structure in terms of the manner of doing business as well also has to be addressed. I would suggest that people that want to gamble should not be gambling with somebody's house. They should not be taking deposits and buying risky things or getting involved in some kind of crazy stuff like credit default swaps. I suggest that these banks revert back to the old style banking system, where it was structured in such a manner that if you made a mortgage loan, it was the bank that held the paper. It was the bank that held the mortgage. That makes a big difference when they can't sell them. I mean, there's some markets that need to be dried up, and parts of these things will be directly attended to. So I look forward to it.
Yes. Are you officially sworn in as a constitutional sheriff, or has that yet to occur, Drake?
I have to do some studying first, and then I'm going to seek that out. Okay.
Yes. Various sources have reported that some cabal characters have disappeared lately. In a Neil Keenan report last year, something like that was mentioned. Any truth to these rumors?
Well, of course there is. Some truth. I'm not going to say how much or any of that, but yes.
You might not like the next question either. Drake, you have mentioned the Council of Nine is the bosses of the 300. Who are they? Are they from this planet?
Yes, and I'll see what I can do about getting a list together, okay?
Right, okay.
And we'll publish it. That way everybody will know who the cooks are.
Right. Question for Drake. Does this mean that the judge must put a wet signature to any legal document regarding legal action, such as a warrant? Because if it only has the rubber stamp, does this mean it's not a wet signature signed by a judge and therefore not valid?
Yes, that's true. You're getting into procedural law, and the procedure has to be to the letter, and you can't just sign a warrant. You have to have an approved affidavit of cause for a warrant to be issued. Depending on what that warrant deals with, depends on whether or not you also have to have supporting affidavit of intent, purpose, exactness, meaning that if somebody gets a search warrant for a house, don't matter who, they have to stipulate what they're searching for. They have to have probable cause, and that has to be stated and witnessed by more than one person. Generally three is what they would like, that these things are true, that whatever the statement is true and accurate. Then, what they're searching for is the only thing that they can take, that they can impound. They cannot touch a paper clip. They can't use toilet paper in the house. Nothing else. Period. I always thought it would be a good idea to have the person search one at a time, not a whole squad, and allow the person, to stand there with a gun and you take that and I'll shoot you. Keep your skinners out of my wife's jewelry. I mean, you know, you don't get to take my gold coin. I don't give a shit who you think you are. That's theft. And no, I'm not going to play the game of after the fact. I'm talking about right then. This is where you need to have absolutely squeaky clean, honest law enforcement. This is somewhat of a rarity, but they're there. There are also many of them, and I've met quite a few. The problem is that you get into a combination of two things. They're similar to a soldier on duty, and they don't know who might target them. I think that their pay should be sufficient to warrant that kind of danger. That's first. Number two, I think that everything that they do should be videotaped. If you got one guy going in one room, you send a camera in with him. This way you've got absolute proof. You've seen some of this on some of the TV shows. They're beginning to bring this out. Some of the police are now required to wear a video camera. And it's turned on at the time they make a stop or visit a home or serve a warrant or whatever. And these things will prevent the abuse. Anybody that commits a criminal act, irrespective as to what their office is, what their rank is, needs to be charged with the offense if they commit one. It don't matter if it's petty theft. Take a book of matches. It doesn't matter. These things need to be sorted out to an extent where their fellow officers become the conscience. And when you go about things correctly, according to what I've stipulated as an example, then a person can feel comfortable even, can feel secure in the fact that they know that the law is standing right there next to them, trying to provide them as much protection from the police or anyone else that intrudes into your home, so that there's not problems. I can't emphasize this enough. We need a bunch of good cops to start busting the bad cops so that you can clean up your own house and come back to a point where your reputation is restored. Right now, the reputation of a lot of people in varying capacities has been trashed, and that ain't cool. It used to be, when I was a kid, the cops would help you out. If you're screwing up, they'd say, "Hey, bud, well, I don't know what your problem is, but you best quit it." And you, "Yes, sir." You're going down the road. So,
next. This person has moderate hearing loss caused by measles and jet noise from 23 years of U.S. Air Force active duty. It's left him with a constant 24/7 high-pitched tone in his ears. Will the healing rooms be able to heal this?
Yes. The healing capacity of the machines is almost unlimited. Everybody's going to really like the benefits that they provide. Okay?
Okay. Right. The final question. Oh, there's about a minute left.
since no one asks about Drake, this person wants to know, how are you holding up, man? Are your frustrations easing as we get any closer? Are you hearing things that are giving you a positive lift, if you can tell us?
Yeah, I'm getting positive info, and my angst, anger, et cetera, ain't going back down until such time as we clear the slate and get this thing set free. I'd say get her done.
Right, thanks for that, Drake. Just a warning to our members. We may have a show on Sunday afternoon. We'll find out more tomorrow, and I'll post it tomorrow evening. But I'll just give you the heads up now, because it's a bit short notice. It'll be with John Darash and National Liberty Alliance. On that note, my name's Thomas Williams. This final song is What the Cabal Tell You Quite Often. Bye for now.
Make you sad someday.